The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Afternoons with Mike. It is Friend Day here. We've got somebody with us that has been here before a couple of times, an author, a publisher, someone who is just an all-around wonderful person, a member of the Christian Chamber in the Orlando area. Jacqueline Lynn is here. Jacqueline, welcome.
Thank you, Mike. It's so good to be back.
It's really great to have you back. And, you know, we got to meet a couple of years ago, and what you do, the fact that you are not only a writer, I love writing, and I get to write a weekly column for our Main Street Daily News, a sister publication up in Gainesville. And I love it. But what I love about what you do is it's more than just you writing. It's your zeal and your love to help other people publish their own works. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we live in a day and age where in some ways it's easier than ever before to get a book or to get a blog online where it can be read by other people.
It is. That's true. That's kind of the blessing and curse, because you have to make sure that the information you're putting out there is good information.
Yeah.
And who, well presented.
And who is the gatekeeper for that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then nobody is the answer.
Nobody. Yeah. Nobody. Well, I mean, you would think that it would be the consumer, because they do vote with their dollars. But then sometimes you look at some of the stuff that's out there that's a bestseller and you think, really? Why?
Mm-hmm.
But,
you know, sometimes I don't know if this is accurate or not. I certainly am not at that level. And I don't even know a lot of people who would be at the New York bestseller, kind of at that precipice where they're the yay people or the nay people that says yes or no to books being published by big names. You know, I'm not mm-hmm. even going to name names, but I do know that it takes more discernment today to believe. You know, there's an old saying that when I was in college, people said, don't believe anything you hear and only a fraction of what you see.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a pretty good kind of a rule of thumb that we need to be going through with our life today. We need to be very, in a godly way. And I think it is possible to be discerning and maybe a little bit skeptical in a good way. Because there's so much out there that is not just disinformation, it's misinformation. It's not only a little off, it's really headed in the wrong direction.
Right. And especially when you want to write about and talk about faith-related things, it's so easy. You know, we've seen people do this all our lives, where you pull a few scriptures out of context.
Mm-hmm.
You come up with excuses. You decide that you can pick and choose the parts of the Bible that you want to follow.
Yes.
All of this stuff, it's just so easy to get distracted and confused. And what am I supposed to do? And maybe this position it's attractive because it's easy and it's letting me do the things that I know I shouldn't, but mm-hmm. they short term, they feel good. And it's a challenge, I think, for all of us to really educate ourselves and understand what we're supposed to accept and discard.
That's very well said. What was it that caused you in the beginning? How old were you when you began to discover, I really like this thing called writing?
Oh, gosh, I was writing stories in the fourth grade, longhand, and sharing them with my classmates.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Oh,
we would get into trouble because, you know, I'm passing the papers around and, you know, and the teacher's confiscating it and say, you know, how about you pay attention to me? And, and a couple of years later, I got a typewriter for Christmas and I was off and running.
Mm-hmm.
Other than when I was a very little girl, and I thought I could be an elephant because elephants were cool. And then when I found out that you had to grow up to be a human,
messed that plan up.
Really? I mean, I've never really wanted to be anything other than a writer. And so I have been so blessed to, I did have a career in sales and marketing in the transportation industry before I became a writer full time. And that was a blessing too, because it taught me so much about business, mm-hmm. and so much of the writing that I've done over the years has been directed to business. So it's fun and it's interesting and it helps people.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a few of the books that you've written.
About business, I used to write for Entrepreneur Media, and I've done 11 books in their startup series. Also did a book called...
Wait a minute, that was just one series, and you wrote 11 books in that series?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
But, you know, I used to call that... And all of these books are now woefully out of date because I wrote them so long ago, they didn't include internet marketing and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
So
that changed everything.
Yeah. So I tell people, oh, don't go buy those books. You can find them on Amazon, but please don't go buy them. But since then, thanks to the development of technology, the same technology we were just talking about that makes it easier than ever to publish a book, I have been able to write and produce and publish books that share the message of the gospel and share my faith and show other people how they can experience this joy and the faith in God and the walking with Jesus that I learned as an adult, because we've talked about this before too. I did not grow up in the church. Mm-hmm. I was in my 30s when I became a Christian. So I've written a book called Words to Work By, which is 31 devotions for the workplace based on the book of Proverbs. It was a lot of fun to write. I took a verse out of each chapter of Proverbs and wrote a devotion and a prayer on that. I wrote a book called Finding Joy in the Morning. You Can Make It Through the Night. It's mm-hmm. It's a book about getting through tough times and not the answer to absolutely everybody, but it is, it's some steps and guides on, how to make it through challenges. And then there's my most recent book,
mm-hmm.
which
we want to talk about today.
Yes, yeah. Can we do that now?
Absolutely.
All right. This goes back several months ago. I got the idea to do a social media meme on, I was thinking, there's all of these challenges out there where, there was the ice bucket challenge, which it did a lot of good, but still it was kind of silly.
Probably a lot of neck injuries from that as well.
Yeah, and who knows how many heart attacks.
Oh my goodness.
But then you even see on social media where I challenge my friends to post on Facebook the last picture that you took that's in your camera. And, just little things like that. And I thought, what about a challenge that would have some good results? And it just came to me, how about a challenge about anger? Let's be anger free and let's make it something manageable, something people could actually do. 7 days of being anger free. That's only a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, I'm going to do this 7-day anger free challenge. I'm going to make this meme and I'm going to push it out on Facebook and Twitter and watch it go viral. And it's like, that's not enough. That doesn't explain it.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I'll do a blog. And then when I push the meme out, I'll link to the blog. And I started writing the blog. And it's like, don't have quite enough room to explain it.
Right.
And so it turned into a book. And the book is The 7-Day Anger-Free Challenge, Be the Peace. And it is... it is a short book. It takes, you've read it.
I did.
It takes less than a half an hour for most people to read. And it, I mean, I could have gone into a lot more detail in it about sources of anger and a lot of more psychology kind of anger related stuff. But I really wanted this to be something that somebody could really sit down, read on your lunch break, read on your commute if you're not driving. Just read quickly and then know what to do to say, okay, I'm going to take this challenge. I am going to be anger-free for a week. And when I came up with this whole concept, I thought, okay, I have to do it. I have to do it before I write the book. And it was amazing, the difference. And I mean, I'm pretty fortunate that I work from home, so I don't have to commute. I don't have that traffic trigger most of the time, although I do get out and drive. So it,
and that
it
is a trigger to a lot of people.
Oh, it is. It is. I mean, it's one of the things that when you look at how destructive anger is, road rage is just one of these things in our society that is so dangerous and dreadful. And but, you know, somebody does something that cuts you off or doesn't let you in or whatever, and then you get mad and decide to retaliate. And so you maybe cut them back off, or you manage to get in front of them and slow down, or you flash a gesture at them that then they get mad. Maybe they weren't even mad to start with. And then it's escalating to something that it is ending up in horrible wrecks, shootings. It's just, so what if you have taught yourself and you understand how not to get angry at that first thing, or if you happen to be the one that started it, maybe you accidentally cut someone off, because we all make mistakes when we're driving, and then the other driver does something and you just let it go because you didn't get angry. And I stress here with the anger-free challenge, I'm not talking about controlling your anger. I'm talking about not letting it get to the point that you have to figure out how to control it.
And I think an interjection on that point is, you're not saying that we're going to get to the point in living where we never feel that that start process of getting ticked off or getting angry. Exactly. That's going to happen. It is an emotion. And I think that is clear in the scripture that says, in your anger, do not sin.
Yes.
So basically, I believe the word is telling us that these feelings are going to rise. They're at least going to knock on the door of your heart. It's what we do with opening that door, or do we open the door? Do we recognize that this is a potentially difficult situation?
And that's one of the things that I suggest in the book, is the first thing that you do is do a log of your anger triggers. And you won't be able, they won't all come to you, but most of us, we know the kinds of things, you know, we've talked about traffic, but parents know, they come home from work and the kids haven't cleaned their rooms or done their chores or done their homework or whatever. Or, you know, if you're a parent of teenagers and you get a little sass, you know that's a trigger.
It certainly is.
Yeah. So figure out your anger triggers so that then you can come up with a plan to deal with them. And if you do this when you're calm and rational, it's really, then you're prepared when it happens. And it's not that complicated. It kind of falls into the simple but not easy category because it does take work. It does take some self-discipline. It takes a lot of self-awareness. But I go back again to when I was doing it there, a couple of things that happened in the first couple of days, And I started to feel a little bit of the spinning up and thinking, okay, wait a minute, you're doing an anger-free challenge. You're, you know, breathe deep, calm down, look at the situation and let it go.
And you're being tested on the very material you're writing about.
Exactly, exactly. But I'm continuing from that first week. I'm continuing to live it. And that's what I'm hoping the readers will do.
Mm-hmm.
Do the 7-day anger-free challenge. Feel how much it changed. Share it with people so that they know what you're doing and how, you know, I mean, people should be able to see a difference in you.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's, you know, maybe it'll have that butterfly effect. Let this go around the world. I mean, and in today's vernacular, I want this to go viral because it is such a personally life-changing and potentially world-changing concept. Let's not get angry.
Well, I tell you what, I think the timing is great because I can't think of a single time in American history in my lifetime where there are so many things that are acting as triggers to people.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us have stopped watching the news because we can't watch the news.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. I have a dear friend up in Gainesville that when we moved up there and we'd go over to his house and watch a lot of the Gator games, and he had a kind of a foam brick. It looked just like a real brick, but it was as light as can be and did nothing. And it was obviously made for throwing that brick at the TV. And so there'd be a crazy call or something get missed or whatever. And he'd grab that brick and we'd all die laughing. And it was all in fun. But there are a lot of bricks that are thrown in today's world. And using your vernacular of anger in how we respond, there, you know, we may not literally throw bricks, but we throw barbs of words. We get angry. Sadly, you're mm-hmm. right. In a lot of situations on the road, there are people who are literally pulling out guns.
Yes.
And it's just out of control at that point.
And to another issue, another thing that we're dealing with is the people who are getting angry at friends and family over political issues. And I mean, I have told the story. I actually wrote a blog about this. Back at the last election, a friend of mine who is a real world friend, but also a friend on Facebook, posted on Facebook on election night, if you voted for the other guy, I don't want to be friends with you.
Oh, yeah.
And so I looked at that and I said, you know, okay. I unfriended her on Facebook. I don't see her very often, and particularly since the pandemic. But this kind of thing is so pervasive right now.
It is.
And, you know, our country has never been more divided.
It has never been more divided than it is right now. And the sad thing is that I believe that began with a call for unity, not in this president's term, but President Barack Obama basically said the same thing. Mm-hmm. When he began, but we have progressively become more divided, and it is now, I believe, at its point of division that it is very, very concerning. And the question is going to be, how can we pull this thing back? Hey, we're going to take a quick break here, and we are talking with Jacqueline Lynn. And the name of her book is The Anger-Free Challenge. And it is a really great book. I highly recommend it. We'll be back with her in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. Back here on Afternoons with Mike, my guest in the studio is Jacqueline Lynn. Jacqueline has been with us a couple of times before. She is a wonderful writer. I did have the privilege of reading this book, and it is a really well done piece. As she said, for those that say, I don't have time for a long book right now, no worries. This is not a long book. It might look longer to you when you pick it up, but it is, I think I read it in just a little over 22 minutes or so, something like that. And it was very good. And I read it word for word, front to back. So this is something that you can do. And it's something that you can apply in your own life. And you have, Jacqueline, you've done such a good job of, I think, laying this out in a way where people can actually begin to catch on to those points. You know, you think about using the driving analogy. You're driving down the road, and we're all trained in driver's ed when we took our first classes to look for those warning signs, those yield signs. Some of them are hazard signs. There's different kinds of signs in traffic that we all need to know what those signs mean, but almost every one of them carry some level of importance that will affect how we drive, that would affect the speed at which we drive, and maybe even whether or not we should stop. Yeah, I mean, you know, thinking about a stop sign. Yeah, no, don't go when it's red. You know, those are things that we see. So this concept is very familiar to us in our culture.
Yes, and I think one of the things that I want people to be able to do is to I've talked about identifying the triggers, but recognizing something that is maybe frustrating you a little and
like under the surface.
Right. And it's not making you angry yet. Maybe somebody did something but you haven't processed it or, you know, without it, a lot of psychology mumbo jumbo, because I don't think people really relate to that. But if you don't teach yourself to address that, deal with it, and let it go, it will fester. And what was, you know, somebody stepped on my toe has now turned into World War III.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to get to it when it's a toe step, before it becomes a major battle. And so with the anger-free challenge, I don't think it's a good idea to just hear the concept, oh, go 7 days without getting angry. I'm going to do it starting right now.
Right now.
I don't think you can do that. I think you have to think about it and go through the exercises in the book. And again, it's real simple. It's a few pages of make your list of anger triggers, you know, and commit, in particular, commit to the journaling. And in the main book, the initial book, 7 Day Anger Free Challenge, there is a set of 7 day journal pages, and there's 4 pages per day for you to journal. There's writing prompts, and by that I mean questions, things that you can write about to help you process what you're doing, to make a recording of it. There's a place for you to, at the end of the day, to say, this is what I'm going to do tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a place for you each morning to say, my commitment for today is. And it could be as simple as, my commitment for today is to make it through today without getting angry. It could be that simple, but make that commitment to yourself. And I have done a prayer for each day to help kick off the day for you. And then, you know, again, you go through journaling your thoughts, what happened, how it worked, and further reflections. You don't have to stick strictly to the questions, the prompts that are in the book.
You know, I think it's so important to realize that even those simple beginnings, when people begin to say, I don't want to be angry today, or I want to handle the day with grace and all of that, those simple goals are still very important, because if we have these big list of goals, it's really good to have some that we can do, that we can click off and check that box and say, I did that. And that really does give us confidence. Then when we tackle the next harder one, we can do that as well.
Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, that's the diet plan. If we say we want to lose 50 pounds, we probably can't do it. But if we want to lose 1 or 2, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you move on. And it's the same process. Give me something that I can commit to and achieve. And then I can build up that commitment. And, you know, I encourage the readers to keep track of, you know, okay, I have been 3 days without getting angry. And so my goal is to make it to 4. One of the things that I did, and I would love for people to share this. In fact, I will be putting out a social meme with the anger-free prayer. And I modeled this after the serenity prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to read it. It's very short. Help me to recognize situations that trigger my anger before I get angry. Give me the strength I need to respond to anger triggers with peace, forgiveness, and love. Make me better so that I may make the world around me better.
Hmm. You know, I had a friend who was sharing with our church a thought that he had that God had put upon his heart. And he said, God wants to make us better and not bitter.
Yes.
And the difference between that turning it to bitter was one letter, and that's the letter I.
Ah, yes.
And to take the I out of bitter will make us better.
Mm-hmm.
We can replace it with that nice little other vowel, the E. But, you know, those the correlation of those two words so close, the I making the difference in bitter. I thought that's good. And it says the writer to Hebrews said it this way, in Hebrews 12:15, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. And you were talking earlier about the things that go down deep underneath the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Those things need to be really recognized, and we need to deal with what's on the underneath side and not just what's on the outside of our mm-hmm. mouth when we say something we shouldn't say.
Which goes back to my message of, this is not about anger management. I did not want to teach you to control. I don't want to teach you not to punch a hole in the wall. I want to teach you to not want to punch a hole in the wall.
Right.
And it's not even as much me teaching you as you read the guidance that I've put together in this book, and do it yourself. And you're not going to do it alone. You're going to have to turn to God for this. We do not have the power to do this by mm-hmm. ourselves. We just simply don't.
None of us do. Yeah. Right.
And it's you with your story about the, the bitter and better, made me think of the line that I hear, I've heard from multiple sources, that God does love us as we are, but he also loves us too much to let us stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to be better.
Yeah.
He wants us to fulfill his plan for us. And of course, we can say no. We don't want to do that. And, you know, he loves us anyway. But why, you know, I go back again to when his way, in some ways it's hard, but in so many other ways, God's way will bring so much joy mm-hmm. to our lives. And you know, going back again to the tagline on the book, what would your life be like if it were free from anger?
And I think that is a wonderful question that we need to really apply to our own lives. If we're going to have the joy of the Lord really be our strength, and to really, I just, you know, there are people, and I bet you that every one of us, our listeners who are listening to us right now, without a doubt, there's one or two people or maybe more in your life, in your web of relationships, that really do have regular expressions of anger coming out of them,
mm-hmm.
more so than maybe anyone else that you know in your entire family. And that can happen. And when that happens, the person that's feeling that, sometimes they don't even realize they're doing it.
No, they don't.
They become so familiar with that way of relating, that way of responding, that it sometimes takes a loving word from a friend to just come up and say, hey, man, I love you. Do you realize that you're expressing anger often? I wonder if we did that, if we love that person enough that we could get them at least recognizing they're losing their cool.
That would be, I think, awesome. And, you know, you might make them angry the first time you do yeah. it. You might.
You might want to duck.
But when you look at the negative impact of anger, it makes us physically ill.
Yeah.
And particularly frequent anger, because when we get anger, the flight or fight syndrome is triggered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening in our bodies. And that's a good thing if we are in danger. But drop that D, if we're just angry, then our body doesn't need that stress, but it contributes to high blood pressure. I mean,
high blood pressure, ulcers, cardiac problems,
digestive issues. It moves on to depression, and it's a terrible downward spiral.
Mm-hmm.
The impact of anger, and we talk a little bit about what about righteous anger. I don't think that's possible.
I agree completely. I think it's possible for the Lord to do that. And people look at him clearing the tables, the money changers. And that's exactly right. And that's exactly what he needed to do. And it wasn't one ounce of sin involved.
No, but he didn't lose his temper and go out of control.
Right.
He knew it was planned. He knew exactly what he was doing. And it looked to us like anger. And maybe it was a certain kind of anger, mm-hmm. that only the Lord can feel. But that's not the kind of anger we're talking about when you say something ugly to your spouse because you just had this momentary trigger, and then the words are out and you can't bring them back and the damage is done.
And not only is it done through words, Jackie, but you mentioned social media. We're living in a time right now where people's anger has a new voice, has a new way of expressing itself.
Yes.
And that is by writing a post on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. And this anger, I think people feel empowered for some reason to say and post things that they wouldn't even speak, but they feel somehow it's okay to do it in that context.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not okay.
No, I want to, when I see that, I remember what my mother, as all mothers were so wise. And one of the things she taught me was never say anything about someone that you wouldn't say to that person.
That's well.
Okay.
That's good.
But I take that on to social media. Never say something on social media that you wouldn't say face to face in conversations, particularly with people who might disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anybody whose position on anything has been changed on Facebook.
Yeah. And not only is it there in the moment when you read it, but the difference between a spoken word that is forgotten and there's no record of it, what you write and spew anger over the internet becomes a part of the internet and it never goes away. It's there forever. Somebody reads that the first time, months after you said it, you might have repented from it. But some things you can't take back, and that's one of them.
Mm-hmm. And we see that. We're seeing that in our culture, where you have celebrities who are being canceled for something they said 20 years ago, because there's a record of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to, number one, we have to remember that and be careful what we say, but more than that, we need to think about those words and what is driving us to say those angry things so that we don't even want to say them.
Hmm.
I mean, that's where we need to take ourselves. And I go back again to the 7-day anger free challenge. It's not about controlling your anger. It's about not feeling it. It's about not getting there. So why do we feel compelled to spew this vitriol?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go there and dig down and figure it out. And it's different for all of us.
Yeah. And I think that point is different for all of us as well. That point where we recognize it and see it. But what you're saying is that while we can't stop that initial thought from rising up, we can certainly, and in fact, we should stop it before it goes down a very dangerous downward slope.
Mm-hmm.
My guest today is Jacqueline Lynn. We're going to be back with her for one more segment. The book that she has written is The Anger-Free Challenge, and we'll discuss both the book and its contents with regards to the logging that you can do, as well as a workbook that Jacqueline has brought in, as this book will be out soon. And that's available for you when that time comes as well. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you are on The Shepherd. It is always fun to have Jacqueline Lynn in on the program. Jacqueline is a writer. She's a publisher. And, you have a website. Let's go ahead and throw that out a couple of times here. We'll do it at the end as well if you can't get your paper out. But what is your website?
Our website is createteachinspire.com.
That's fun.
Yeah, we encourage people to create, and through their creation to teach, and through their teaching to inspire.com. I tell you, when we got that website, when we got that URL, we're like, oh, we can't believe it.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It is a good one, and it was available as a .com. So createteachinspire.com.
Wonderful. And you can write to her if you're a person that is longing to write a book. Jacqueline can give you some really great insights and help you along the way. And, with all of the books you mentioned, I don't think we ever finished the question. How many books have you written all total? Do you have a number on that?
All total, about 45.
Oh, my goodness.
That either I wrote under my own name or I ghostwrote, mm-hmm. because I am a ghostwriter as well, and which means that I take the named author's ideas and information and craft it into a book. It is not my book that they put their name on. It is their book that their name is on that I am the wordsmith.
Do you have any type of credit or citation in that book?
They will usually acknowledge me. Actually, they all acknowledge me in the acknowledgments because I make them do it. I write the acknowledgments for them, except the one paragraph. And I say, okay, now you have to write this one, which thanks me. So yeah, you can usually see that in the acknowledgments. And actually, when you're reading books by well-known people, if you read the acknowledgments, you can figure out who the ghostwriter was.
Well, sometimes it also says like their name as the author, and then you'll see smaller print with such and such a name.
Mm-hmm.
And that person is often the one who kind of put these ideas together as well.
Yeah, there's a couple of different ways that ghostwriters and collaborators can be credited. I pretty much chose not to take cover credit on any of the books that I did because I felt that in serving my clients, it was better for them to have sole credit.
Hmm.
That's just me. Every ghostwriter and named author works together differently. It's a fascinating process. We should probably do a show on that sometime. It's interesting. Like I said, I've probably ghostwritten at least 15 books in different. Now, most of my ghostwriting is in the business arena because that's what I know.
Is it safe to say that you're always writing something?
Pretty much, yes. Yeah.
I think I would have guessed that.
Yeah, always.
I had a friend one time that told me that there was a certain number of words per day that he wanted to write. And so he would write purposefully, not just to use all of that, but it was almost like a practice thing for him.
Mm-hmm.
So whether or not he was ever going to use in any type of article or any type of book, the writing that he was doing, he felt that kept his creative mind, his creative thought, and the ability to express all of that as sharp as he could be.
And that's, you know, a lot of writers will claim they've got, I've got writer's block, I can't write today. And I love that there's a meme that floats around social media that says, there's no such thing as writer's block. It's just a term that people in California who can't write came up with. Something like that.
Oh, man.
I know. Sorry, California.
I didn't see that one coming from you, Jacqueline.
But what I tell I'm in a number of writers' groups. And by the way, for any of your listeners who are interested in a wonderful Christian writers group, go to wordweavers.com. There it is. And it's word-weavers.com. It is a great resource for Christian writers. But what I tell my friends is like, I'm stuck. I can't write. And I say, stop and write an email or a letter to a friend. Now, if you can do that, there's nothing wrong with your writing ability. You've got an issue with the work you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now you know what you need to go figure out.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about my book or article or whatever that I'm working on right now that I'm having trouble with?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, going back to your book, The Anger Challenge, The Anger Free Challenge. Not the fact that we're wanting to challenge you to become angry.
No, please.
But we don't need to challenge you to do that. That's going to happen to us all. We're going to feel some sort of level of anger. It is a human emotion. The Bible does not, I think, at all give us any notion that we're ever going to come down to being able to live where the thought of an anger or the thought of becoming angry will one day just pass away with our sanctification. Friends, if you are buying into that, I want to wake you up and say, it's not going to do it. But we are called on by God to deal with this stuff. And it's better to deal with it. And this is where Jacqueline's book is so well done. It's better to deal with it in the very beginning of you feeling it and then recognizing what is happening and then putting in to place the plan that you can work out. And the Bible helps us with all of that.
Yes. And I include a chapter of what does God say about anger? And, you know, and I have scriptures that tell us why we're not supposed to get angry and a little bit about what we're supposed to do about it. You know, avoid being around people who are angry and that kind of thing. I think because there is so many references to anger in the Bible that I think that God is telling us, this is important to me, my children. This is important, and it's going to be an issue you're going to have to deal with, and that's why I have told you over and over, don't get angry. Don't let anger lead you into sin, because it can. We get angry and we want to get even. And, you know, we're not supposed to do that.
And if we do get angry, the Bible teaches us to not let the sun set on that anger.
Exactly.
On that wrath that's in our heart. You know, when I think about a Bible verse that comes to my mind, it's James 4:1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you get angry, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Wow. Mm-hmm. That is a strong word right there from James, telling us that basically even murder has at its motive root, we just didn't get what we wanted.
Exactly.
We didn't get what our heart desired, and now I've let that become a crime of passion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel justified in doing whatever it is I want to do. And, you know, that's what road rage to me is. It's a fulfillment of this warning given to us by James. We're just not getting what we want. We didn't want to be cut off. That guy cut us off.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to take this into my own hands, and boom, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a scary night one night, Jacqueline. My wife and I were still living in Gainesville, driving home from a dinner in Orlando, and a guy, for whatever reason, we still to this time do not know why he was doing what he was doing, but he was so angry. He came up past us in a very dangerous way on the shoulder of the turnpike.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And we knew something was wrong. There was nobody else but that car and my car within vision that I could see. And he came up not on the left side, which he could have passed me like you would normally pass me, but he passed me on the right side, almost sideswiping, and then pulled right in front of us and then proceeded to do what is called brake checking.
Uh-huh.
So he just kept trying to get me to stop right there on the turnpike. And I would start to pass him and he would move over in front of me. And I'm thinking, oh my, so we're getting on the line with, 911. We're mm-hmm. calling, and up ahead, I can see the toll plaza before they took it away. The toll plaza was there. And I'm thinking, okay, there's going to be help there. Well, by that time, he stopped and then he just abruptly pulled over and gave me that one mm-hmm. well-known gesture. And I'm thinking, what is this guy's problem? There were two cars on the highway and he just like, I want to have it mm-hmm. out with this guy. That's just terrible.
Yeah. And it might well have had absolutely nothing to do with you. That something triggered him.
Yeah.
And you were there.
He needed your book.
He did. I believe he did. And yeah. If he's listening to this show,
yeah,
send me a message. I'll send you a free copy.
There you go. That's it. Well, now, in our time remaining, Jacqueline, your book, it does include these wonderful thoughts and teaching aspects. But then there's this part of it where it also includes a journal mm-hmm. where you can write down day by day. And then if people fill that book up, there's a companion book. Tell us about that.
Right. The main book includes two sets of 7-day journal pages so that, you know, if you get partway through the process and you feel like you've failed, you've gotten angry, you have a choice. You can either say, okay, I'm going to keep on going, or I'm going to start over. And if you want to start over, there's the second set of journal pages.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you fill those up.
And my bet is that second set's going to get used a lot.
Yeah. Or one of the things, you know, I mean, take an X-Acto knife, cut them out of the book and give them to somebody. I mean, share this.
Right.
But then I also have as a companion book, the Anger-Free Challenge Be the Peace Journal. And it is a physically larger book. It's 8x10 pages, mm-hmm. you know, the size pages. Again, 4 pages per day of one writing prompt a day, rather than in the main book, there's 3. But just an idea to get you writing. It's some inspirational quotes. There's an inspirational quote or scripture for every day. In the larger journal, there is a prayer, but there's also space for you to write your own. So there is a daily prayer to kind of get you started. And it's the same general format, though, mm-hmm. that is in. So it's going to be very familiar, but it's got page sets of 45 page sets. So it'll take you 45 days. So,
and, you know, the idea is not just to make this a change in your life for 1 week or 7 days. The idea is that while we're never going to get rid of this tendency that we have to kind of boil up a little bit inside, mm-hmm. we can grow to where we're almost like a different person.
Exactly.
And that's the goal. That's what you're aiming for in this. And I'll guarantee you it's going to take longer than 7 days for any of us to really hit that point. So thank you for all of the hard work that you've done. And it's written so well. It is written so clearly that I know that people are going to really enjoy this book and they're going to benefit from it. And now I know it's not available yet.
Yes.
But
yes.
When? Oh, it is available now.
It is available on Amazon, both the 7-Day Anger-Free Challenge Be the Peace book.
Oh, great.
And
I was thinking it wasn't released yet, but that's great.
It has been released.
Okay. So go to Amazon and it is the Anger-Free free challenge, 7-day anger free challenge. And the author is Jacqueline Lynn. Mm-hmm. And make sure that you get this book, get the companion book, send it to a friend. Maybe you've got a relative that is working hard to overcome this kind of a problem. But this is going to be something that they will benefit from. And I know that you'll be glad. All of us will be glad if we can grow in this area. Yes. What a wonderful peace in our heart could come.
And what a wonderful change it could make in our world.
It absolutely can and will. And our world needs changing, Jacqueline.
Oh, it does indeed.
Oh, I've so enjoyed having you here, my friend. And thank you for coming in and sharing this gift that God has given you. Give us that website one more time.
Our website is createteachinspire.com. And if you go to createteachinspire.com/challenge, that's the page that has all the information about the book and the journal and the links to Amazon and other places that you can get it. Or you can go to your favorite local bookstore and ask them to order it for you, and they will.
And they will. Jacqueline Lynn, thank you for being here. Friends, thanks for joining me on Afternoons with Mike. And we'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.